Clay Harrington.
Like Wade said, my name is Clay, like the potter. I work at the Vineyard Church in Urbana, Illinois, as the evangelism and now college pastor. I'm going in to step into the scene on the campus to see what we can do, how we can plant seeds of revival out there, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So it's good. And I also travel on the side with Clay of God Ministries. I do that thing on the side, and God has blessed me with, I didn't even ask for it, guys. I did not ask. I have a whole story on one of those talks where I didn't ask to be a preacher. I didn't think I was going to be a mouthpiece for God because I had a stuttering problem. And I ran from the call. I ran from the call. I did not think I was going to be the spotlight guy up here on the stage. I didn't even want it. But God called me to it. And lo and behold, he called me to do an itinerant ministry. And here I am loving it. Loving it. And hey, God uses your weaknesses or your perceived weaknesses because he comes through in those weaknesses to be, you know, for you, because he's strong. He's strong. He uses those weaknesses to bring his strength in those weaknesses. Anyways, I'm doing this itinerant thing, and it's been lovely so far. Every day I wake up, every month, I go into a new month, I go into a new year, I go into a new day, I go into a new season, I go into a new thing. I'm always thinking, man, how can I raise my baseline to burn for Jesus on a whole new level? How can I raise my baseline to burn for Jesus on a whole new level? It's always been my goal. It's always been my resolution. It's always been my daily heart cry, y'all. And I'm not talking about burning in the way I preach. I'm not talking about burning in the way I teach. Burning in the way I evangelize. Burning in the way I do pastor stuff. I'm not talking about that. Although I want to burn more in that too. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about how can I burn in every area of my life, in the way I give, in the way I do the mundane, in the way I do everyday things. I find myself asking questions like, what would it look like if I was to completely live surrendered to Christ in every area of my life, in every area of the way I parent even? In every area of how I deal with people in patience, especially with people who just cut you right off on the road when you're driving, mind your own business on the highway, you know? You're like, what in the world happened? You know, how can I burn with patience in the way I talk about people? The way I do my life around places and things and circumstances. Because I want to burn y'all for Jesus on a whole new level. I want him to enhance the way I do everything in life, including the way I parent, especially the way I parent. Because I'm a family guy. I remember asking God, you know, I want to burn as a parent. I want to burn in the way I do life at home. And I felt like God said, hey, Clay, you want to burn at home? Awesome. Then you need to find a way to minimize distractions in order to be more present with your own family then. What? For example, okay, just the other day we had the dinner table conversation because God, he gave that to me. I'm like, that's a great idea, God. So at the dinner table the next time we're there eating dinner, I'm like, hey, guys, hear ye, hark. I'm playing around. That was a joke. Okay. All right. I'm not saying hark to my kids, y'all. Okay. I was like, guys, check it out. I'm going to come up with a new rule. We are not going to be on our screens anymore when we're doing dinner. Blah. Laying the gauntlet down on you. You know? And my kids looked at me and said, that's all good, Dad, but the only person that brings their device to the table is you. Okay. Touche. All right. Good. You got me. You know what? I need to step up my dinner table parent game up, apparently. So from now on, no devices at the table for me. No devices. I need to start eliminating some distractions because if I truly want to burn, then I've got to start eliminating some distractions in my life. I want to love my wife better. I want to raise my two wild sets of twins better. I want to love those who have polar opposite views on life than me better. I want to allow Jesus to burn in me in such a way where it's easier to obey Him level, even when it doesn't make sense. What about us? What about us? What about us? Do we want to burn brighter for Jesus? What are some things that distract you from going all out for Jesus? Do we really want to live consistently brighter for Jesus in every area of our life? And if so, what does that look like? It could be the way we handle finances. It could be that we need to start volunteering to help with the children's ministry, prison ministry, starting a small group, whatever. We can get down, guys, with all kinds of ministries and do all kinds of stuff for Christ. But what's the secret, though, for living on fire for Him? What's the secret sauce for living on 10, on 100 for Jesus? What's the secret for going all out? Guys, I'll tell you what the secret is. It's nurturing your relationship with Jesus. And how do we nurture our relationship with Jesus, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked. It's right here. This thing right here. This tool right here. This is a conduit right here. This is the Word of God right here. This is how we're going to nurture our relationship with Jesus. This is how we're going to continually burn for Jesus on a whole new level. This is going to fan the flame to a roaring fire in our life. To nurture our relationship with Jesus with this thing right here. This book right here. Guys, because Scripture leads us to Him. Scripture is all about Him. Scripture, this book right here, is all about Jesus. The Old Testament is about Jesus Christ concealed, and the New Testament is about Jesus Christ revealed. Old Testament, Jesus Christ concealed, all kinds of type Christ about Jesus going down in the old school, okay? And the new school, aka New Testament, is about Jesus Christ revealed. Ta-da! I'm here, suckers. What? The whole book about is about me! The whole book, Jesus is, not me, but Jesus. The whole book, Jesus is saying, is about me. All 66 books in this love letter, in this book, in this canon, in this collection is about moi, me. And this is what's going to help us nurture our relationship with Him. John 5:39. Check it out in NLT. If you want to, you can turn there, flip there, or it may be on the screen, I believe. But John 5:39. I want to glean a few points about how Scripture nurtures our relationship with Him. So turn with me. Click with me. But peep game, y'all, peep game. But before I do that, let me tell you what's going on. Let me give you some context because this is some good things that are going down right here. See, the Jews, they're furious about Jesus breaking Sabbath tradition. He's always healing on the Sabbath. He's doing all kinds of things that just are messing the Jews up. And the Jews are like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are coming in here doing things, messing tradition up? Now, they were mad, right? They were furious. And Jesus was saying that He was God. And they're like, no, you're not God. You're not God. How dare you? Blasphemy, right? And Jesus, He's holding His own, though. He's letting them boys know who the real deal is. And eventually, Jesus says something interesting in verse 39. Check it out. It says this. It says, hey, you search the Scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life. You search the scripts, all up and down the scripts. You memorize the scripts for your whole life. You know the whole Old Testament by memory. You can regurgitate and memorize everything in the Scripture. You study them high and low, low and high. And you think that these things give you eternal life. Wrong. It doesn't. Why? But the Scriptures point to me. The Scriptures are designed to point to me in the flesh right before you. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. You search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life? Nah. If we're reading Scriptures, guys, and not looking more like Jesus, we're not reading it in the way that it was designed to be read. If we're not reading Scripture and looking more and more like Jesus, we are not reading it in the way it was designed to be read. The Pharisees wanted to read for the purpose of looking high and mighty. Oh, I'm good. I can. Isaiah chapter 31. It says, blah, 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 blah. They wanted to look good in front of people. They wanted to be able to win debates. They wanted to be able to argue well. They wanted to be able to do all kinds of good. Because you know what? Scriptures became a god to them. They were showing off how much they knew. And in turn, Scriptures became their idol. Scriptures became their god. They were highly academic, highfalutin, highly sophisticated. They memorized the entire thing. They can quote Scripture until they could put you to sleep with Scripture, y'all. Like, whoa! But Jesus calls them out in a big way here in verse 39, calls them out big. Nobody in the nation of Israel was calling out the Jews like Jesus was. And he was like, yo, he's pointing out that, yo, you guys, you Jews, you highfalutin Jews are treating this Bible like it's the source of life. It isn't. I am. What? What? That's cray cray. But that's what he did. That's what he said. Church, don't study the Bible to win a debate. Church, don't study the Bible to show off how much you know, how much Scripture you have memorized. Study the Bible because you want to nurture your relationship with Him. Study the Bible because you want to look like Him, talk like Him, act like Him in every area of your life. Study the Scripture so you can burn like Him. That's the reason we study Scripture. So we can be a salt and light to the world and not know, thou shalt not. Did you know it said in the Bible like, did you know it said in the Bible like, did you know it said in the Bible like, no, I'm studying the Bible for me so I can be the Word. I want to be the Word. I don't want to just regurgitate the Word and recite the Word. What is that? I want to be the Word. I want to live the Word. I want to live like Jesus. I am a Christian. Little Christian. I've known so many people, guys, that have built their life or gave their life to Jesus. They started feasting on the Word. They're going in, man. They're like, yeah, this is so good. This is so good, so good. And something went on. Something happened. Their Scripture study led them to stop loving and start condemning. I'm like, what happened, dude? You were loving just a minute ago. Oh, no, I need to learn more of the Word. I mean, did you know that, you know, repentance in the Greek is metanoia, and metanoia means da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I'm just going to go ahead and start telling people that they're wrong about ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm like, bro, no, you're not studying Scripture in the way it was intended to be studied. For one reason and another, people stop loving and start condemning. I'm here to say that if you're studying Scripture, if you studying Scripture has you condemning, hating, judging, like the Jews who opposed Jesus, then studying Scripture, and you're studying Scripture in the wrong way and for the wrong reasons. Guys, we love because He first loved us while we were sinners. If God didn't send His Son to the world to condemn the world, then why in the world would He send you? Some of us think it's our day job to get on Facebook to condemn. Donald Trump. CNN fake news. Pick a side. I mean, Democrats, Republicans. It's crazy, right? We think it is our day job to get on Facebook. Some of us probably need to close our Facebook accounts and get alone with Jesus. Because we're not, you know, loving with this. So Scriptures, guys, leads us to love like Jesus. If we're reading Scripture and we're not loving, something's going on because Scripture leads us to love like Jesus. Scriptures nurture the relationship. Helping us to love like Jesus and to be. The second point, to be. The first point was to love. Second point is to be. Let's look at the text again. But Scripture's point to me Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. You know what I see in this passage? I see Jesus saying to the Jews, I don't know what you're reading, but the scriptures that I know of all point to me. And when you come to me, that's when you can have life. And when you're in me, guess what? We're family. We are family. Yeah. We're family. You're a son. You're a daughter. Guess what? We're family. That's the best title that we can have, is being a son, daughter. Not a pastor, not a teacher, not a construction worker, not a father, not a husband, not a wife, not a daughter. You know, all that. You know, any title you have, that does not define you as a son and daughter defines you. And when we understand that we are a son or daughter of God, we can be a better husband. We can be a better father. We can be a better pastor. We can be a better preacher. We can be a better whatever, a teacher, a contract worker, whatever. We can be better at whatever we do. And scriptures remind us to be sons and daughters. I remember when Jesus was dealing with me in the area of gossip. Wow, he's dealing with me supernaturally. He supernaturally actually washed my mouth out with his grace. Y'all thought I was going to say soap, right? Yeah, I had my mouth washed out with soap back in the day when I was a kid. Not cool. Not cool at all. That's old school, though. I don't think people do that today, do they? Yeah? They don't do that now, right? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I just did it the other day to my kid. I'm So he washed my mouth out. You know, he basically washed my mouth out with his grace because I wasn't using profanity anymore. And man, I supernaturally grown up in such a way that, man, no foul language was coming out of my mouth. And then a year later, Holy Spirit said, okay, Clay, I think you're eligible for an upgrade now. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm good. He's like, well, you probably need to watch how you talk about other people. Check out what it says in Ephesians 4:29. It says this, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Whoa. Okay. That's crazy, guy. One can read this and think, nah, this is just another rule. Nah, this is something for somebody else to do. I don't have the power to do this. This is for the pastors. This is for people who actually really, 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 really love Jesus. It ain't for me. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm good. I'm just like Joe Schmo. I'm an average guy. I'm just not going to do it. That's not me. That's exactly what I read. That's exactly what I thought. But then the Lord was thinking, I was looking at it again. And I'm thinking, when you read this passage in this proper context, when you read the passage with your sunglasses, your S-O-N glasses, and you put them bad boys on, and then you read that passage again, then you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't see this as something that's condemning. I don't see this as a rule to be followed, but I see it as something that sons just naturally do. Let no corrupting talk come out of my mouth. Yo, Holy Spirit, you're giving me the power to actually do that. You are inviting me. Excuse me, I'm messing my mic. Can y'all hear me good? Okay. You are inviting me into a rich relationship in such a way that I can never let any corrupting talk come out of my mouth. That's the power that I want. And when you read scripture with S-O-N glasses on, you can see that that's not a rule. That's a right that you can have. That's power that you can access with the help of Holy Spirit. And then I started reading scripture differently. Things started to line up differently. And I received it differently. And I heard, hey, Clay, you're my son who I love. And as a son, this is how we compose ourselves. We don't talk down about anyone, we build them up. We don't gossip about anyone behind their backs, we build them up. When you are starting to feel tension with people, then what do? We're going to bless them instead of tear them down. Why? Because that's what sons do. And from that day forward, I said, Holy Spirit, I need help with that. Give me the help I need with that. And so I started to build people up. When I started feeling in competition with people, I would pray for them. I would bless them. When I was in meetings with people that I didn't really like, I would make it a point to articulate praise, articulate building up, not corrupt. I wanted to give grace to those who heard me speak. And I thought, this is money. And guess what that did? What that did was that silenced and that delivered me from the spirit of competition. It delivered me from the spirit of gossip in so many levels. And I started to live more free as a result. So Scripture, guys, not only reminds us to love like Jesus or empowers us to love like Jesus, but it empowers us to be sons, to be daughters. Guys, God created us to be human beings, not human doings. If He wanted us to be human beings first, we've got to understand how to be, then how to do. To be first, then to do. That is the question. Okay, but anyways, we're going to keep it going. I'm playing around. Point three. So point one, love. Second, point two, to be sons. Scripture nurtures our relationship to love like Jesus, to be like Jesus, and to burn for Jesus. In Luke 24, there's a great story of Jesus interacting with two disciples heading to Emmaus. Jesus, he just rose from the dead. This guy came back from the dead. He was like, hey, I conquered the grave, y'all. I'm back. What? Like 500 people seeing him in the flesh, and he is back. And so, anyways, he's back on earth doing his thing, getting with his disciples. And then one day, he sees two disciples going to Emmaus, and so he joins them. And he's like talking to him. And the people, the two disciples going to Emmaus don't even recognize this Jesus. They just think this is a third wheel. You know what I'm saying? This is a third wheel just coming on, adding into the conversation. But they're cool. They're having good conversation. They're going to Emmaus. Everything's love, right? And then they get to Emmaus. And they're like, hey, man, hey, Jesus. I mean, not Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. He said, hey, dude, you want to come in to our house and get something to eat? Come on in. Come on in. And they invited him in. And they eventually realize, right as soon as they're about to eat, they're about to break bread, they realize that the whole time the person that was opening scriptures to them in the Bible was Jesus himself. And when they realize that, Jesus left. He just disappears. And in Luke 24:32, it says this. It says, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures? Jesus was basically like opening the scriptures up for him. He's like, hey, guys, listen, don't you know what scriptures say? Look, the Old Testament is all about Jesus. And the New Testament, they didn't have the New Testament there. If they would have, he would have said, and the New Testament is all about me. But look, the Old Testament is all about me concealed. Listen, don't you see this? I'm going to open your eyes for you to see. And then when they had their eyes open, they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't see this. Oh my goodness, I didn't get this unlocked before. Wow, this is amazing. They were getting illumination. They were getting revelation. And Jesus with them was like, hey, I want to show you this and that and this and that. Man, I wish we had Jesus walking with us and revealing to us scripture today. Wait a minute. We do have Jesus walking with us, revealing scripture to us today because he's doing it by his Holy Spirit. Guys, we have the Holy Spirit that actually helps us open the scripture up to know where Jesus is in every area of these pages. And as a result thereof, we nurture our relationship with him. And we can burn for him as the result. As a result, verse 32, it says again, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And He's still speaking to us today, guys. He's still revealing Himself today. Guys, the Word, guys, is alive and active. He's still speaking through the Word today. Does not your heart burn when He reveals to us the Scriptures today? Does not our hearts burn when He reveals to you where He is in Scripture? Does not your heart burn when you are looking at the Scripture and you're like, yo, this is awesome. I love it. I want this. I want this. Doesn't your heart just like want to come out and say, hey, I want this life. Clay, I want to burn like this. I want to be like this. It motivates us. It provokes us. It galvanizes us, or should. And if it doesn't, I pray today that we can get some sunglasses, some S-O-N glasses on when we read, and we can see, pray to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, will You bless me with Your Spirit in such a way that when I read Scripture, I see Your Son and I burn more for the King. Because if we're not burning, what are we doing? It's not that Holy Spirit's holding back. How are we pressing in? How are we taking our Bible and saying, hey, I'm going to read the Scriptures every day, and I want Holy Spirit with sunglasses on. I want Holy Spirit to show me how to burn, guys. I'm not trying to condemn. I'm not trying to beat people upside the head. I'm trying to invite you, all of us, into a rich, dynamic relationship so that we can burn for Him. Man, He says this, and they rose. In verse 33, He says, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Then they told to the disciples in Jerusalem, then they told what happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Guys, what's going on right here? The two disciples were burning in such a way that they could not just sit on their blessed assurance and just chill. They could not just, okay, well, whatever. Oh, la-di-da-di-da. We're just going to go around our, we're going to go along and just do what we do. Because, I mean, I guess Jesus just showed us Scripture, but that's fine. I'm just going to chill now. That's not what happens when you burn. That's not what happens when you burn. When you burn for something, you got to do something. When you burn for something, you got to go. Most of y'all have been in love here. And if you saw someone you just fell in love with and your heart was burning for that person, don't tell me y'all just say, oh, well, well, I'm just going to let it be what be. No, you're going to go after. You're going to go court. You're going to go try to woo. You're going to go, hey, baby girl, hey, what's going on? Hey, I want to talk. You want to try to do whatever it can you can to pursue them. To have relationship with them. To do life with them. Same thing for Scripture. In fact, all the more for Jesus. When you burn for Jesus, what are you going to do? You're going to go do something. And these guys, what did they do? They said, hey, the same hour. Okay, let me lay the context. They were in Emmaus. They had to walk back to Jerusalem. It was night. It was probably close to midnight where all the robbers were out there. All the gangbangers were out there. Listen, they could have lost their life. Okay. They burned. Their hearts were burning. When we burn for Jesus, guys, it not only changes the way we do ministry, it changes the way we parent. It only changes the way we go out into the hood to evangelize or go to the marketplace to evangelize to the lost. But it changes the way we do finances. It changes the way we love our spouse. When we burn for Jesus, it changes the way we communicate on social media.